This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And last time we were discussing the ayah that was talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was reprimanding Bani Israel for what they had done with the prophets. And just to remind ourselves, the verse was essentially telling us that there were two options, two things that the Jews did. Either they disbelieved, they rejected those prophets, or they killed them. Okay? And of course, we talked about those verses and how they killed many of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they even attempted to kill the last that came to them, and this was Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. And alhamdulillah, they failed to kill him. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا قلوبنا غلف بل لعنهم الله بكفرهم فقليلا ما يؤمنون. And they said, our hearts are wrapped. It's a very interesting thing to say. The first observation is, what are you commenting on? Are you the type of people who are in tune with your hearts in order to comment on the situation of your hearts? These are people whose hearts, as Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, became harder than rocks. And now they are saying, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. You have nothing to do with your hearts. Otherwise, you wouldn't have allowed them to become the way they did. It is when a person is not in tune with themselves and their hearts that they will end up in such a situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and purify our hearts. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. So first of all, it's very bold and audacious that they are talking about the situation of their hearts. Of course, we know it's another empty excuse, like so many of their excuses. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. What does this mean? They're essentially telling the Prophet ﷺ, don't bother yourself, because we're not going to be convinced. We're not going to be guided. They're essentially telling him, they're making him in despair of any chance that they will believe. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are wrapped. In other words, they are wrapped so nothing can come inside. Or they are wrapped and therefore you don't have any chance of convincing us of this. So don't bother. It's just a way of turning the Prophet ﷺ away, rejecting him. As many of those who rejected the messages did, in giving all kinds of useless and funny excuses. Okay? This is one of them.
وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are wrapped. We heard some of the other replies. The people of Shu'aib عليه السلام, what did they say to him? مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ. We don't understand a lot of what you say. Again, it is looking down upon the prophets of Allah, right? It's belittling the best of humanity to reject, an excuse to reject. So they say, we don't understand a lot of what you're saying. Others said, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا أَبَاؤُنَا. If Allah willed, we would not have become mushriks. We would not have committed shirk, nor our forefathers. Another silly excuse. But these silly excuses may be funny here. It's not funny on the Day of Judgment, because this is kufr, this is rejection of al-haq, of the truth that the prophets, peace be upon them all, came with. So similar to many of these. And by the way, we hear sometimes, unfortunately, similar excuses from Muslims who do not really want to listen to you if you're trying to advise them, or they are not really accepting what you're saying. You know, you tell them, come and pray, come and do this, this is right, this is not right. And you hear all kinds of excuses. I'm sure you've heard some of them. One of the very interesting ones, whenever you know I was in a position to advise someone about coming to prayer, they'd say something like, oh, I'm not pure. What do you mean you're not pure? You have to go take a shower? What's going on? That's actually what they mean. Otherwise, he goes and does wudu and he can pray. So, silly excuses. He's at work. Why would he not be pure? Right? It makes no sense. It's a silly excuse. It's just an excuse not to pray. And you will hear similar things. So the Jews here are saying, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are wrapped. Of course, it's a very dangerous thing, because this is kufr. And this is something that they ostensibly said, okay? Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, is not so sure if they actually said it or not. He gives the possibility they didn't actually say it, but it's the meaning that comes about from it, that they were acting as if they were saying that their hearts are wrapped. But apart from him, the Mufassirin did not comment on this. So it seems that they actually said it. Our hearts are wrapped. It's a very, very serious thing. And this is why in the other ayah in Surah Al-Nisa, he says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Look, he combined all of those sins together. Breaking the covenant, disbelieving in the signs of Allah, killing the prophets, and saying, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are wrapped. Very serious. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith that a slave servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may say something, a word, completely heedless and not really thinking about it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may raise his status and his levels with what he said. But vice versa, he may say something again that he is heedless of, and he doesn't even think about it, which will cause him to fall in the hellfire. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Beware of what you say. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the authentic hadith that indeed hearts may be covered and wrapped. A person, every time a person commits a sin, may Allah forgive us, there will be a black stain on the heart. And then the black stains accumulate and amass and eventually cover the heart completely. The Quran talks about the hearts, talks about how the hearts can get sick. The hearts can then become sealed and covered with ran. The hearts can be locked. أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. All of these things can happen. Why? Because the hearts are heedless. لَهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts are in play. They are unaware. The hearts can be unaware, and then they can reject and have arrogance, and that will cause the sealing and the covering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Yes, hearts can get wrapped. But in this case, they're using it as a silly excuse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them. بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. بَلْ here is saying, no, it is not as they say. It is rejecting what they say. It is not that their hearts are wrapped, but rather Allah Azza wa Jal cursed them. لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them because of their kufr, because of their disbelief. So if someone asks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them, yes, without reason, or Allah cursed them and then they disbelieved, no. لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. So they disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their own free will and volition, and Allah Azza wa Jal cursed them. In the other ayah, بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. So He sealed their hearts because of their kufr. And this excuse and this rejection of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he is calling them to is kufr. بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. It is not as they say, but rather Allah cursed them because of their disbelief. Bismillah. Then he says, فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Little do they believe. Some scholars, including Imam Qatada, say that this means that few of them believed, and most of them disbelieved. Imam al-Tabari viciously rejects that and says actually what is meant here is that they believe little. So even if they do believe, the part of their belief is little, and most of it is disbelief. And we took the ayah recently, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and you disbelieve in others? So the meaning here, فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, meaning little do they believe. In other words, even if they do believe, there's disbelief there in it. It's not complete belief. It's not full belief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing their belief. فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we know, Musa alayhi salam, and many of the prophets that came after, وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. Yes, they rejected a lot of those prophets that came later, and they killed many. But Musa alayhi salam, they didn't reject him per se. But in the way they acted with him, in many cases, we see, barakallahu fik brother, we see it's almost like they were rejecting. So they would say all kinds of things, they mocked him. They said, how can we believe you? They would talk about him as if he's just another man. Oh, this man, Moses, this fellow, Moses. Subhanak ya Rabb. Musa alayhi salam, one of the five of ulul azm min ar-rusul, five of the greatest messengers of Allah alayhim salatu wa salam. So even in their belief, you seem to see some kind of rejection. فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِّمَا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلٍ. And when a book comes to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, confirming مُصَدِّقٌ لِّمَا مَعَهُمْ, confirming that which is with them. What is with them? Yes, the guidance of the Torah that Musa alayhi salam came to them with. The Quran and Islam is coming and it is actually confirming that which they have. And here, there's a nuance we need to pay attention to. Because last time we were talking about, I believe it was the last tafsir, we were talking about the messengers of Allah and the prophets. And we were talking about how sometimes a prophet will come not with a new message, but a message that is confirming. This is different. And this is the nuance. Are you with me? No? Yes? When the prophets came and did not come with a new sharia, they are just confirming the sharia before them. This is different than what we're talking about here in مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. Why? Because مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, now this is applying to the Qur'an. Did the Qur'an come with a new sharia or not? Of course. Did Isa alayhi salam come with a new sharia? Yes or no? Yes. Because he made permissible a lot of what was forbidden for them. He's confirming the law. He's confirming the Torah. But he is abrogating some of it. He's making permissible some of that which was forbidden. So this is a new sharia. Right? But it is confirming in another way. This is different than the confirmation of the prophets, where he doesn't come with a new sharia. He is just there to implement the old sharia completely. So, with the Quran is also described as musaddiq. It is confirming that which came before. But in the other ayah it says, وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ, meaning actually it takes precedence over all the other books that came before. That does not contradict the fact that it is a confirmation. It is مُصَدِّق. Because we said the fundamentals of these different شرائع, because the deen is one, we say that the deen is one. The religion in the sight of Allah is one. We're talking about the original as each prophet came with to their peoples. So the fundamentals of the deen are the same. The aqidah is exactly the same. There cannot be any differences in the belief system. And even the fundamentals when it comes to worship, such as prayer and zakat and fasting, essentially the same. Fundamentally the same. There may be minor differences in the way it is implemented. But just like Islam has fasting and zakat and prayers and other things, aspects of worship, the other religions have the same. So it is essentially the same. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. It is a confirmation. It's a confirmation of many of the stories that you have. The prophets, peace be upon them all. We believe in all of the prophets. So this is not some completely different system that Allah Azza wa Jal is asking you or commanding you to believe in. It is confirming that which you have. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. But furthermore, وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Before that, they used to do what? They used to expect and pray for someone that is going to help them rise to victory against these kuffar of the Arabs. Which kuffar of the Arabs? The Arabs were kuffar? Yes, no? Of course, of course. The Aus and Khazraj, they were worshipping the idols. They were idol worshippers. This is very clear in the hadith, and we mentioned it before. So they are seeking Allah's help and victory through a prophet that is about to come. Victory against these kuffar of the Arabs, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, in Medina, who later became Al-Ansar. But at the time, they were the idol worshippers. They were the pagans. And the Jews were the believers. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Ibn Abbas tells us, رضي الله عنهم, عنهما, that there is a reason of revelation for this ayah. So he says that the Jews used to, before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, were expecting a prophet and would talk about that prophet and boast to the Aus and Khazraj, a prophet is about to come, and when he does, we together will then rise up against you and obliterate you. So they're expecting this prophet and that he is going to help them against Al-Aws wal-Khazraj. In some narrations, we are going to kill you along with him, like the destruction of Ad and Iram. In other words, you are going to be destroyed. They are going to be the partners and companions of this prophet. Subhanallah, I wish they were. This is what they used to say. And this is the way they used to talk to the Aus and Al-Khazraj. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Arabs and not from them, their minds couldn't take it. And they rejected him. Just because he wasn't from Bani Israel, they thought he was going to be from them. So they rejected him. So this is when Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Bishr ibn al-Bara' they went to them and they said, fear Allah and become Muslim. This is the prophet you were telling us about. This is the one that you were threatening us with. And then we believed in him and you disbelieved. So Salam ibn Mishkam from Bani Nadir tells them, no, this is not the one that we were told about. Look at the lies. And they know it's him. As we saw in many examples and narrations that I mentioned to you before. They know it's him full well. They are just rejecting. They know, and it is exactly as they were told about him in their books. But he said to them, no, this is not the one that we were telling you about. Subhanallah, in some narrations, the Ansar, who used to be Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His grace was upon us, that we knew about Him from the Jews, and we believed in Him. Notice the difference in faiths. You look at Al-Aws wal-Khazraj at the time, these are idol worshippers. That's all they know. And these are Ahlul Kitab. These people have a book. These are Bani Israel, who in the past, when they were obedient, they were chosen. Subhanak ya Rabb. But now they believed, the Ansar believed. The Jews rejected and disbelieved and earned the curse and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also reminds us of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should spread the word, spread the deen. Sometimes you may say something someone else will benefit from. But sometimes the person himself who is transmitting that message or word did not benefit from it. May Allah forgive us. May Allah, we seek refuge in Allah. That we be people who are helping others and guiding them, and then we don't follow our own words of advice or guidance. And then other people will benefit from what you say, and you are not benefiting yourself. Almost like I become a bridge over hellfire that you will pass over, but then I myself will fall into it. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all. So here, the Yahud are telling them about this Nabi. A prophet is about to come, and we are going to follow him against you. And these people believed, and these people rejected. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Look, Allah called them الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Before they accepted the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Islam. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. It's a very serious thing. They were threatening the disbelievers. When that which they know came to them, they disbelieved. They became kuffar. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. Beware, my brothers and sisters, of rejecting after understanding, after knowledge comes to you. Before that, you have a grace, a space of grace. Yeah? You have an excuse. But once you come to know what is right and what is wrong, that's when you're accountable, right? The Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith, and this is Allah's grace upon this ummah, that Allah Azza wa Jal excuses this ummah if they forget or if they don't know out of ignorance. So if you didn't know the hukum, this happened to me. I was telling a relative and apparently he didn't know. I think he knew that riba is haram, but he didn't know that this is essentially riba. So before that, he's excused. But once he knows what the hukum is, what the ruling is, he's not excused anymore. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا. Now, what came to them is that which they know. The Prophet ﷺ perfectly described in the Torah, and they knew it was him. And they said it between themselves in secret. They knew it was him because it matches what was in the Torah. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. This is when they disbelieved. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Then the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal is upon the disbelievers for their rejection. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the other ayah, those who disbelieve and continue to disbelieve and reject, upon them is the curse of Allah and His angels and all people. It's a very serious issue. The curse of Allah Azza wa Jal is upon those who disbelieve and reject the truth. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Then he says, بِئْسَ مَشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بَغْيًا. What an evil, bad, worthless price it is, that thing for which they are selling themselves for. We talked about before how they sold their akhirah for their dunya. Here they are selling themselves. بِئْسَ مَشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. اِشْتَرَوْا here meaning selling. They are selling themselves. doing what? And yakfuru bima anzal Allah, to disbelieve in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to them. And yakfuru bima anzal Allah, for what reason? Why are they rejecting and disbelieving? Baghyan ay yunazzir Allah min fadlih. What does this mean? Baghyan ay yunazzir Allah min fadlih. It's almost as if they think they have the right. They have the right to direct the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have some kind of... We saw before, almost as if they had a covenant with Allah when they said, oh, you know, okay, hellfire for a few days. The hellfire will only touch us for a few days. They said 7 days or 40. Do you have some kind of an agreement with Allah? Did you sign something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ. Here, بَغْيًا أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. The reason they're rejecting is because of hasad, pure envy, that the Prophet was not from Bani Israel, was not from them. It was envy that Allah Azza wa Jal made the Prophet from the Arabs. They said he should be from Bani Israel, not from Bani Ismail. Who the hell are you to even say this? Are you some kind of a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Are you, or are you there to block the mercy of Allah and direct it where you please? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the risala wherever He wants. Allahu a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allah knows where He's placing the message and who He is choosing. Turned out from the Arabs. So what? This shows you their racism and their racialism. It's all about our people. It has to be from us. Otherwise we reject. Even though they knew and they were threatening the others with this Nabi. بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ. So حَسَدًا بَغْيًا. Almost as if they are expecting. No, it has to be from us. أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send down of His bounty upon whomever He wills of His slave servants. عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to whomever He wills. Muhammad ibn Ishaq rahimahullah mentions an interesting narration here. He says that the Sahabi, Salama ibn Salama, who was of the people of Badr, and that's enough. He also witnessed some of the other battles, but the main one, Al-Furqan, right? The battle of Badr.
Allah barak fi.
So Salama narrates that they had a neighbor, a Jewish neighbor. And one day he came to them in one of the gatherings, the majlis, and Salama was there. And Salama is the youngest one attending. So he comes to their gathering and he starts telling them about some of what has been revealed to the Jews. So he starts talking about Al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. He starts talking about Al-Mizan, the scale in which the deeds will be weighed. This is their Jewish neighbor, okay, from Ahlul Kitab. He starts talking about accountability and paradise and hellfire. Allahu Akbar. And he's talking to these idol worshippers. All they know is the worship of idols. So when they're hearing this stuff, it's going over their heads. So they say to him, "Wayhak, what are you saying? What is all this about You know, do you really believe that people are going to be held accountable and paradise and hellfire and all of this? So indeed, the Jews were the people of belief and these were the people of disbelief. They said, do you really believe in all of this? He said, yes, by the one that people swear by. In fact, he says, that a person would wish that he would be thrown into the biggest possible fire of the dunya to be baked and fried in it rather than to be punished in the hellfire on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. This is a Jewish khatib. He's exhorting them, right? He's scaring them. They said to him, what is the sign that this will be the case? When will this happen? He said to them, a prophet is about to appear. They said, where? So he said, in that direction, the direction of Mecca and Yemen. So they're looking south, right? Because they're in Medina. In that direction, he will come from there. They know where he's coming from as well. They say to him, when will this be? When will he appear? He said, he looked at Salama, the youngest of them. He said, if this lad grows up to old age, he will appear. So Salama says, by Allah, indeed the Prophet finally came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we believed in him, and he, this Jewish neighbor of theirs, rejected him. بَغْيًا وَحَسَدًا Just like the ayah says, out of hasad, out of envy. So they came to him. They said, woe to you. You are the one who was telling us about the Prophet. You're the one who warned us. You told us about him. You described him to us. Aren't you the one? So he said, yes, but he's not the one I was talking about. Again, pure lies. Subhanallah. Because of the rejection in their hearts. Because of the kufr in their hearts. For that one thing, when you think about it, put racism aside. It's the most ridiculous excuse. Oh no, he has to be from us. Okay, and if he's not, what's the big deal? What's the problem? So you are ready now to sell your akhirah just because he is not from you? Because you thought he was going to be from you. Did Allah promise you? If Allah promised, hypothetically, that he would be from Bani Israel, and Allah then did not send him from Bani Israel, and this would never ever happen, because Allah Azza wa Jal never breaks his covenant or his promise. If that happened, Allah does what He pleases. What is it to you? He never promised you in the first place. It's an expectation. But it is that sickness in their hearts. And we see that, subhanAllah. Therefore, whenever they talk about Allah, they talk about God, they talk about God of Israel. Almost like it's an exclusivist God. So while Muslims say Allah is the God of all, the Buddhists and the Christians and the Jews and the atheists who reject Him day in, day out, He is their God. It doesn't matter. But for them, it's exclusivist, the God of Israel, as if He is their God alone. Subhanallah. بَغْيًا أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ Ya Allah, not one غضب. So they returned with the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wrath, a wrath upon wrath. غضب على غضب. When we talk about guidance, we say نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٍ Ya Rabb. نَوِّرْنَا وَنَوِّرْ قُلُوبَنَا This is غَضَبْ عَلَى غَضَبْ What are these? Why several angers or wraths? brothers are saying, the sheikh is thirsty today, what's going on? غضب على غضب. Ibn Abbas says, a ghadab, a wrath upon them because of their disbelief in the Torah and the rejection of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, the covenant, and because of what happened when they rejected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of the mufassirin of the tabi'een said that the first ghadab, the first anger, is because of their rejection and disbelief in Isa alayhi salam and the Injil. And the second ghadab is because of their rejection and disbelief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quran. And we may say in general that the first ghadab, anger or wrath, is because of their rejection and disbelief before the coming of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that may include what happened along with Musa alayhi salam and the Torah and all of the prophets, وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. And the second ghadab is after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for the disbelievers is a humiliating punishment. They will have a humiliating punishment for their rejection. And here, عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, the reason the punishment is furthermore described as humiliating, because there will be punishment on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all. That is not humiliating per se, because it is not eternal. So we know that some of the Muslims will also be punished in the hellfire, right? May Allah protect us. Some of the Muslims will be punished, but this is for the sake of purification and cleansing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then enters them into paradise. So that we would not describe as عذاب مهين. Okay? This is of a purification. But a humiliating punishment is that which Allah Azza wa Jal reserved for the disbelievers, which will be eternal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge and understanding of the Quran and implementation of it. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وإياكم. Which one, brother? Sorry, which word? غلف. Yeah.
Some discoverers say they mean like full of knowledge.
Thank you, brother. This is a you'll read that in the tafsir. A lot of times I tell you about what you will read in the tafsir, especially if it is a let's say an opinion that is highly probable, yeah, where there really is a difference of opinion. You do read some of that ghulf here, not meaning necessarily that it is wrapped and closed off, but rather that it is like an envelope. It is enclosing something. So, ghulf meaning it is full of something, and the thing it's full of is knowledge. As if they are saying, our hearts are already full of knowledge, so we don't need that which you are coming to us with, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't need anything else. We are already very knowledgeable. We have knowledge. We have the knowledge of the Torah. We are the people of the book. We are the chosen ones. So, this was an opinion as well. But it seems, wallahu a'lam, that the more correct opinion and the opinion of most scholars is that what is meant here is that rather they are saying that our hearts are closed. They're saying that their hearts are closed and therefore do not bother with us. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects this excuse and tells them, no, it is not the case, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them because of their disbelief. Wallahu a'lam. Wa iyyakum. There's a lot of going back and forth about this, because then they were looking at ghulf grammatically. Ghulf and what it comes from and where what it derives from. So if you like those types of, intellectual debates and so on, you are the one of the grammarians, go for it. You'll get dizzy reading about what the Mufassirin said about this, the ghulf. Or even bi'sama, but I left it all out. Bi'sama, Arabs are looking at me. What's the big deal? Bi'sama. You'll read a lot of stuff. Okay, a lot of the Mufassirin, they would comment on many of the issues concerning Arabic grammar that would help to understand the ayah. Sometimes I'll mention it. I feel it might be better to leave it out. Some of it I don't even understand. It's a very high level of grammar. Any other questions or comments? Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.